In South Africa, you can check in our history, you can check it our present. There will always be, or there has always been, discussions around race. Now, the town of Swaziland in the northwest has been a point of discussion since last week following alleged segregation of white and black learners in a classroom at the local primary school. Now, Dr. Rudy Bayes, Dean of Humanities at the Cornerstone Institute, joins you now to give you his view on it and how we can perhaps resolve the race issue. Doctor, welcome back once again. A very good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Morning, Abungile. Thank you, man. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, well, so 25 years of democracy in South Africa, yet we are still talking about segregations in classrooms. Mm. Are we going backwards as a nation in terms of race relations?
Mm. No, Abs, you know, I think we're going forwards. And the reason I say that is not because the incidents are decreasing, but because we are, it's more front of mind, I would say. We talk about it more. So where in the past there would have been an argument, you know, it's early in democracy, we still focused on developmental issues, correcting sort of the basics of where we've been missing it, around fair distribution and so forth. We're now realizing that sort of the social issue, the basic understandings of how relationships between people and communities work, the social architecture, I mean, in actual fact, is as important, if not more. And so we're realizing that the more these are in front on our desks, that we are talking about it and keeping at it, you know, that's a sign of us going forward. We're not hiding things. We're not sort of trying to step away from things, but actually dealing with the actual realities. And so this case is a very interesting case because if you listen to the teacher who took the picture, and maybe just for background for listeners, this is a picture taken of a grade one Thursday classroom, where, you know, there were two tables, and the one table had all the white kids, and the other table had the black kids. And so the uproar, if you will, injustice is the question whether this is intentional segregation as we've had it in the past. And so, again, this is another incident that gives us opportunity as a country to talk about these things in addition to dealing with a particular case and finding out what's the facts there and resolving the situation in that school, in that class, with those teachers, and of course the broader community.
And if we look at the situation now, look, there's nothing we can change. We are where we are. There is this situation. I'm now specifically speaking about the community. One of the things that I always worry about is the collateral that we have. And let's be frank about it. We've got young kids now that, unfortunately, in their young lives have been exposed to a protest outside of their school. They don't understand what is going on. So how do we teach these children now at the center of this drama about race relations? Because they've been tainted and we have to have the conversation with them.
Well, you see, Abs, I would argue that to think that these young people, to think that anyone, no matter how young or how old, in some way in our country, in our nation, aren't familiar or aren't at all time confronted by these type of issues, that's a myth. That's a misunderstanding. So the reality of our country is that because of our social dynamics in terms of race, young kids see. They see who drives in front of the bucky and who drives at the back of the bucky. You know, they see who mostly, often, at least in white schools, would be the white teachers and who would be sort of the black workers on the school terrain. So young people see these things. They're aware of these things. They listen. They see. They hear their parents talk race. They hear their parents getting angry or and so forth. So it's simply not the reality to say that this now only young people are being confronted by this. It's not true. But what is missing is the fact that we think they are too young to have a conversation with them about it. So it is really unfortunate that such a traumatic moment would bring the conversation with those young people. And of course, I'm making assumptions that it has not been taking place, but still, that such a traumatic event would not put it on the table. But again, it says that where we are failing is not that we're keeping that we're keeping quiet, where we are, that we're not keeping quiet. The failing is the actual fact that we're not yet talking. Of course, one has to have these conversations in an age-appropriate fashion and use language and sort of grow young kids into it. But there's really no problem at having the conversation. In such a traumatic environment, it is now about those older people, those parents, those teachers that those kids trust to help them through this time. So, and the main thing, you know, no matter how young you are, and this is sort of psychological, developmental-wise, to understand what's happening, to take away the strangeness, is normally what solves this situation. So trauma, in a sense, goes with a conversation on making sense of what happened. And that's something that you can have at any point in time, but it's about age-appropriate engagement. But what you don't want to do is keep anyone, whoever they might be in the community involved, the teachers, the parents, apart from the learners, is to keep them in a situation where the conflict is sustained. And so sort of the notion of, again, bridge building, bringing people together very intentionally to talk about things is a very important one. And it seems that what comes through in the media reports, listeners would pick up that there was a media conference called by the teacher with another organization, and what comes from the media report is to say that the teacher will stand up for herself and defend a good name, and it's just interesting that the dynamic that one misses is the school, the department, the teachers, the parents not saying, well, there's difficulties in our society, and this is an opportunity for us to talk about that and, again, assess ourselves. What is our contribution to raising this conversation? We are rather moving into the old or established conflicts of race, of politics, and so forth. And I would say that's the sad part, that we're not yet, as an immediate response, talking about talking. And this is not wishful thinking. It is the reality of being intentional about how to solve such incidents. And the reality is, and I think the important thing is, each incident one must solve in terms of that incident itself. And the more incidents you solve, the greater the conversation becomes. But a general, generic, standardized, stereotypical conversation will not help us in the long run.
We are running out of time, unfortunately, Dr. Yeah. Bass, and I want to ask you this question. I mean, many people are talking to the conversation that South Africans are maybe just a tad too sensitive when it comes to race issues in the country. Are we too sensitive when it comes to race in the country, or do we perhaps have to accept that because of our dark past, it's a conversation we're going to continue having?
In a sense, yes. In a sense, no. I think the sensitivity is a good thing for us, and this is one thing that is unique, although not exceptional, of our nation. That in our country, we have this opportunity to grow as people and as nation, because these things are on the table all the time. So, in a sense, I want to say we need to normalize this and say, but this is a reality of a growing society. We should not be upset. And, of course, we're sad and upset when these things happen, but we are thankful that they're on the table. We confront it. We deal with it. What we must be sensitive for, in my view, is how we respond with that. If we respond with violence, either physical or symbolic, you know, just in the trauma that you create and people's, you know, loss of hope and so forth, you know, if we respond violently, we continue internalizing the injustice that we thought we had gotten away from. So the sensitivity, to my mind, is the fear of the conversation, not the fact that we're too sensitive about race. Because if you look at such a picture, the optics matter. In our society, when you look at the classroom and you see this divide, and you think it does not matter, then in some way you're missing where we're at as a society. And to be able to participate in the rebuilding of society is a wonderful opportunity in becoming human.
Doc, I wish we had more time because this conversation is just getting interesting. But unfortunately, we have run out of time. Thank you so very much for joining us on the show. We'll chat again soon. That is Dr. Rudy Bays, Dean of Humanities at the Cornerstone Institute. It-